When Mozart sits down to paint, he just paints. I don't think the first time Mozart sat down to paint, he thought he was going to be an incredible painter.
Well, music.
What?
Mozart's music.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, music.
11:37, Thursday morning, here with The Invasion. Donovan Lewis, Matt McLaren. That Cowboys roster, some of the names on the bubble. Very interesting. We'll take a look as some of the depth pieces are going to churn out this year. But right now, as we do each and every Thursday at this time, brought to you by Globe Life, it is time for Boy Music. And today, it was Travis who said, you know what? I got something for Boy Music.
I do indeed, and this got born out of a trend on the Twitter last week, as there were folks talking about songs that were specifically written for or debuted on a movie or film.
Okay.
So I've compiled a list of some of the bigger ones, but I didn't want to just go chalk and give you like Ghostbusters, 9 to 5, Footloose, 8 Mile. I wanted to go a little bit deeper and look for some songs that you definitely know but might not know that they actually debuted or were written for a movie. So let's start pretty easy here. And this will be from Top Gun in 1986. There were a lot of songs on this soundtrack that were originals made for the movie. One of them being Take My Breath Away by Berlin, and the other is Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins.
Yep. You think I love this song?
Yes.
You'll notice I pulled a lot of songs for Matt for this one.
It's not a time you're not playing the keyboard.
So the film producers Jerry Bruckheimer and Don Simpson, along with the music supervisor Michael Dillbeck, had over 300 songs at their disposal to choose from. They tested compositions against the dailies, so like they would shoot, go check what songs would fit best, and then would choose the one they want. For especially the opening scene at the aircraft carrier,
it's a badass song for the movie,
no doubt. And they were never able to like find one they liked. So, with the help of songwriter Tom Whitlock, they wrote Danger Zone. And had Joe Pizzullo record a demo, and then with the approval of the producers, the distributor Columbia Records requested to have Danger Zone performed by some band. They didn't know who yet. So they offered it originally to Toto, but legal conflicts between the producers of Top Gun and the band's lawyers, that wasn't able to happen. Kenny Loggins, a few years ago in 2022 on AXS, or an interview with AXS, revealed that it was actually Jefferson Starship that was the first act to be offered the track.
Man, they would have done a good job.
I bet you think that. But the band withdrew from the project, and ultimately, Kenny Loggins arrived on Danger Zone.
Man, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say there's a badass synth version of this a guy called Max Cruz that has a sax in it. It's phenomenal.
Just the process of trying to figure out who's going to do a tune and who was supposed to do it. And now we've done segments on that before, but just the, offer to them.
All right, I'm down.
They can't, they can't perform it. Something's happening. And I would love to hear demo tapes of some of these tunes.
I would too. Yeah.
Because they would say, so-and-so is on the demo. And I've heard a couple of artists say, all right, they had the demo and they put it in front of them and say, well, why don't you just do it? Like, that sounds great on the demo. Let's make you the artist and not just singing it for someone else.
So let's go to 1978. And this will be from Saturday Night Fever and the Bee Gees. Another one where we created basically an entire album from pretty much one band to go along with a movie. And I think I'll pick Stayin' Alive again. There's a lot that you can go through on this one. One of the most recognizable beats, songs, beginning of songs.
opening day song to this.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an accident that the rhythm of the song, like, accidentally, like, they did not mean to have it fit exactly what CPR, like, the beat of CPR is supposed to be, but it was a happy accident. But in 2021, Rolling Stone named Stayin' Alive the number 99 greatest song of all time. It would become the second of the Bee Gees' six consecutive...
Whoa. Oh, poor Michael Phillips.
Man, what are you... Are you trying on wigs on QVC?
Oh, God. All right. It would become the second of the Bee Gees' six consecutive number one singles, tying the Beatles with the most consecutive number ones in the U.S. at the time. It was eventually broken by Whitney Houston, who achieved the seven consecutive number ones. But producer Robert Stigwood engaged the Bee Gees to provide songs for the film, originally to be called Saturday Night. When he asked them to change the name of the song to Saturday Night, they said, no, there's too many Saturday songs. I think we're just going to keep it the way it is, as Stayin' Alive. And he was like, all right, how about Saturday Night Fever? How about we'll try Saturday Night Fever? And they just renamed the movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They just renamed the movie. All right, let's move along here. I think you're going to like this one, Matt. I grabbed this one just for you.
No, is it Dirty Dancing?
It's not, but it is Mannequin.
Okay,
with Starships.
Yes, that's right.
Nothing's going to stop us now.
See, people forget Starship did this song, too. I think people think this is Journey. This is a great song as well. With Kim Cattrall as the Mannequin. What a weird-ass movie that was. But kind of awesome, because who didn't want mannequins to come to life?
It sounds terrible. Sounds like a Twilight Zone episode that they definitely made.
She was a hot
creep show.
Right.
Did you guys ever see that movie?
I never heard of it until you brought it up.
So she's a mannequin, and she comes to life, and they end up hitting it off. It's kind of cool.
I guess, yeah. So songwriter Albert Hammond wrote the track with Diane Warren. It was inspired by his upcoming marriage, but he'd also been tasked with writing some songs for the 1987 comedy Mannequin. And so nothing's going to stop him from getting married to this lady he'd been with for 7 years, living in the same home together. But now nothing's going to stop them now.
Boy, this is tailored right for this cat over here, man.
Lip Sync McLaren.
I know.
Is so happy right now.
Karaoke Matt.
You even got air synth.
Boy, we always have air synth. It's never far away. Never far away.
Are they better than Starship?
It is Starship.
It is Starship, me. Know your band.
Yeah, idiot.
You say you like them so much.
All right, let's go to 1988. This is going to be...
This could be Dirty Dancing.
So, in their second album, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, Public Enemy...
Oh, this is Public Enemy. This Fight the Power.
We're preparing for their European leg of Run's House, and they were approached by Spike Lee.
Yeah, of course.
About creating an anthemic theme for his new movie that was going to be coming out that he was directing, Do the Right Thing, and he needed something that fit the motif, the racial tension in Brooklyn at the time. He said said of his decision in an interview with Time, he wanted it to be defiant, wanted it to be angry, wanted it to be rhythmic, and he thought of Public Enemy right away, and that is where Fight the Power comes from.
Playback.
Sound of the funky drama.
So I've never seen Do the Right Thing.
Dude, the cast is...
And I didn't know a lot about it, so yeah. I definitely knew about the song and heard the song over the years, but I didn't know that it was for this movie.
I didn't know it was written specifically for Do the Right Thing, but at the beginning of it, when they play the song at the beginning, a young Rosie Perez is dancing really hard.
Hell yeah.
Didn't you have on, like, boxing trunks and boxing gloves?
Yeah.
I'll go do some research later.
Yeah, you should. But yeah, man, this song's was huge. I think you're telling me something new, that it was specifically written for Do the Right Thing.
Like Spike Lee like giving them the, hey, I want this, and they do it for them. Awesome.
Yeah, and this was the movie that really launched Spike Lee, because he had done maybe a movie or two before this, but this was the one that really people like, whoa, because I remember people talked about this. Watched it in high school a lot.
Right.
Samuel Jackson's in it. Small, really small role. I mean, one of his very first roles.
We definitely made it a point to go to the theaters to see this one and check it out. This is great, man.
All right, let's get at least one more in here. So, of course, you could go with basically any track off of Purple Rain. You've got Eye of the Tiger, which was actually written for Rocky III. It was supposed to be Queen's Another One Bites the Dust for Rocky III, but Freddie Mercury and company wouldn't grant them the license, so Sly turned to Survivor to get Eye of the Tiger made.
I wonder if that's a regret from Queen, saying, oh, this movie, what the heck? No.
Rocky III, probably. Now, Rocky IV, they should have written for that.
So this is one that I didn't know about. I've never seen this movie. I don't think I had even really ever heard of this movie, but it's Dangerous Minds, starring Michelle Pfeiffer.
And John Malkovich, right?
I don't have that in my notes. Again,
I'm thinking Dangerous Liaisons. Dangerous Minds is the mid-90s one where she takes over as a substitute teacher in a lower-income community.
Yep, sounds good to me. Again, learned about this movie yesterday. What I didn't learn about yesterday was the song that was written, not necessarily for, but it was debuted on the soundtrack of Dangerous Minds and the video. Apparently, I've never seen the original video for it because I've never seen Michelle Pfeiffer and Coolio together.
Yeah.
Because Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise was written for, or was at least intended to be included in the Dangerous Minds soundtrack as its original release.
Even I know the first words to this.
Yeah. Because of your time in the church.
Very religious. As
I
walk through the valley of the
shadow of death, I take a because I've been blasting and laughing. That might have been the whitest thing you've ever done.
It was. And a list of everything white that he'll do.
Josh Whiteman just went albino.
That's at the very top.
Oh my God.
That, you know what? We have his ticket stock song already written. And I want that dance exactly like you just did it.
So if you're familiar with Coolio and his library, usually pretty vulgar in a lot of his songs, well, you probably know that he samples Stevie Wonder in this song.
Pastime Paradise, yep.
And one of the things when that happened is Stevie had to give some approvals to the song, and there were some profanities in the original version, and Stevie said, I don't really like that. We're not going to do that.
Right.
So he said, okay, I respect Stevie, took them all out, and you get Gangsta's Paradise.
Man, if you hear, what's the other? Yeah, Coolio is gangster. Like, everyone's sleeping on Coolio because he'll have some of, like, the
because
funny.
He's got funny hair.
Right, and all
I
the
know
other
he was
things.
So vulgar.
That dude is gangster. I'm blanking on his other big song because I'm listening to this one. Fantastic Voyage. Yeah. Listen to the real version of Fantastic Voyage. You heard the radio version, but you haven't heard the real one yet. You go, whoa.
Julio's for real.
He is saying a lot of stuff.
Dangerous Minds, solid flick. I liked it back
then.
It's
been a long time since I've seen it. It's been a 95 that was released?
Yeah, that was big at the video store when it came out.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle Pfeiffer knew what she was doing, let me tell you.
She did.
Did you see the sequels?
I haven't.
I don't think there's
a sequel to
this. There is one, Daddy, but we'll be on the lookout for it. You just never know.